It's Tuesday evening, October 19th.
Oh, Lord, we ask for your blessings on our meeting tonight. Again, that your spirit would flow, your truth would flow, that we would have ears to hear by your spirit. Do that good work. Amen. Yeah.
Thinking over the last couple of days, especially, but the pastors, for the most part, today are more like cheerleaders. And they tell everybody that they're all going to win, you know, they're all going to go to heaven, and they're all going to whatever, and that's really not the picture we get in the scriptures. And I started taking this more seriously. You know, few there be divided, and many are called, and few are chosen. And Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." And the whole thing is a little bit different picture. And what gets painted in the churches. I've never heard that picture ever painted in any church I've ever been in. And yet, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, it's not a wide road. It's not a broad way into the heavenlies. It's straight. And it's narrow. And few there be that find it. And I'm thinking that because of the church mentality, few there be that are looking for it. It's not even a goal. Church is a goal. You know, music ministry is a goal. Learning is a goal. We should learn everything we can possibly learn. The thief on the cross probably didn't know an awful lot. And but there was something that came to him right in a necessary moment, I think. Called faith. And you can kind of hear it in what he had to say. He says, we deserve what we're getting. But this man doesn't. And then all of a sudden he said, remember me. You know? Well, why would he say that? Something must have happened to him. Or why would he even know that it was a possibility? But anyway, I'm thinking that church as such has become a goal, and I don't want it to be a goal. Church is not the objective, and you realize that in all of the time that has existed, this creation. Probably the few out of the people that were born in that time are going to be in heaven. I don't know. I mean, in one place there's a number of no man could number. They saw, but Jesus said to give us that picture. We see all the areas that he said if they would have repented, they would have been okay, but they didn't. And Candy was telling me today, up in school, or up in wherever Felicity goes to school, that some guy was up there with, and he had passed out little Bibles. And a lot of the kids took a Bible and stuck it in their pocket. And when they got into class, they laughed and they laughed and they laughed. And they poured toward our pages and threw them in the air. Out of the Bible. And that's what we're getting. That's the mentality of America. Sure that what the kids are picking up is not just from their from themselves. Check turn on the middle light, the middle switch. Yeah, they have a little light.
Well, the sower, a lot of those seeds didn't work, you know.
Yeah.
The ones that did. Sounds like Gideon's were there at her school. They tell stories about, the kids throw those little New Testaments in the garbage. The janitor fishes them out and then gets saved.
Kids seem to have, if you give them something for free, they'll take it, whether they want it or not, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the way kids are. Well, some adults.
Well, but what they did later is kind of what's a little sad. Mm-hmm. Tearing them up, you know, and mocking it. But, you know what?
But if one, just one.
Yeah, and hey, God can... He's got ways that can completely turn somebody around, you know.
I get convicted for that, you know. Showing the condition of the heart that tears up a Bible. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows?
Well, if they haven't been raised to have any respect or know any of it.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
But what would happen if they were passing out Korans? Is it which one do the Muslims lose? Is that Koran?
Yeah.
But they, if they started tearing them up, they'd all go to jail.
Or had their heads chopped off.
Yeah. There'd be a big stink made, I'm sure. Mm. But, yeah. You know, all they need is like a calamity in the family and somebody prays for them and they're healed and all of a sudden, you know, the light shines.
But there is a lot of darkness.
Oh, yeah.
Just an awful lot of darkness. A lot of darkness.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, education produces it.
Well, school is an agent of this world.
Yeah, it's funny to believe that the first school book was the Bible.
Yeah.
And now it's not even allowed in the school.
Thank you.
come across something on a lighter side, and it's not really all that important, but I'm just going to mention it because it just caught my eye. You know what's interesting is at the end of Romans, Paul names a whole bunch of Christians. You know? I mean, that's like almost a whole chapter of just names.
All these people say hi to.
Yeah. So, here's in 16:13, he goes, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine." Was that his brother, or what the heck?
Yeah, what's with that?
Yeah, I've never seen. I mean, not like it's a great big deal, but it's just interesting.
No.
Why even say that?
Well, it's a possibility because his sister's son is the one that has heard about Paul being allowed to be destroyed, you know.
Well, maybe Rufus is that son.
I don't know.
You know, went on to be a disciple.
You know, he was sending this letter to people that lived in Rome. He himself had never been in Rome, at least at that point. That's what he says early on, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, he's saying, I'm coming.
Yeah.
But I got to deal with Jerusalem and Judea first.
Yeah. But never, I don't, you know. And I have been struck by that chapter, too. Boy, he sure knows a lot of people in Rome for never having been there.
Yeah. But maybe they were, you know, maybe it was like they were going back and forth where he wasn't or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Some of you may know better than I, but wasn't Romans the last book that Paul wrote? That was rather late in his life. Because he went to Rome, and I think he died there. At least that's what I thought.
I believe he did die in Rome when, you know.
And so,
but his letter to the Romans were...
Well, it could be. I was wondering if it wasn't kind of a summation of all the people who had ministered or whatever as he was preparing his affairs, saying, these are the people, and keep these in mind, carrying on after he passed.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way when I came across it, that's what I thought I had.
And by the way, he narrated. Because in 22, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, he was a scribe in it.
He was the scribe.
Yeah. So, but I could, I'm not claiming that I know that. I'm claiming that's what I sort of understood at one time. Because it is unusual. I mean, he occasionally mentioned one person or another, or I'm sending so-and-so ahead.
Right.
But there in Romans, he kind of gave a who's who.
Yeah. Anyway, but just thought that was interesting.
There was a whole sermon from Seattle on one of the verses that is in that chapter. It was about so-and-so and Junius, who are of note among the apostles.
Oh, yeah. I read that, too.
Right. And what does that mean? Does it mean they are noteworthy apostles?
Yeah, I know.
Or does it mean the apostles took particular note of these people? It could be either, you know.
Yeah.
The sermon from Seattle was taking a position that, no, they were apostles. They were noteworthy apostles, you know. So you didn't have to be one of the 12 disciples to be an apostle. There's the apostolic ministry extended far beyond that and would continue into the present day. There'd be the idea
there. Well, I believe there were a lot more apostles than the original disciples.
There's a debate on that question.
Maybe I'm not remembering right, but when Jesus sent the disciples and those with them out to minister to people and to pray for them, didn't it say that there was like, all told, it was like 70?
I believe there were 70. I don't know if they were apostles.
Well, no, but there was obviously more than the disciples. So you're right. You could say, well, 70 people went, but some of those people were just going along. They weren't necessarily in a position on a power.
There is a designation of the 12 apostles. That's why they had to replace.
Yes.
What's his name?
Judas.
And with Matthias, whatever.
I'm just laughing because you remember so many names, but like.
And I'm getting older.
What's his name? What's his name?
Well, but for one. Finish up. If you have
well, and, but those were somehow, they are the apostles.
They were the first.
Yeah. Now, the question is whether or not they were the only apostles or just a special, the 12, and then beyond that, there's some more apostles.
A pretty major one. Paul.
Yeah.
He wasn't a disciple, original disciple.
That's right. Yeah, he didn't. Yeah.
Well, and I believe too they. Well, I'm trying to count it out. When did they replace Judas versus when did they send them out? And I thought he sent the 70 out prior to them voting for Judas's replacement.
Oh, they did. Yeah,
oh,
that was in the gospel.
That was pretty early.
He was alive.
In the ministry.
It was prior to the resurrection.
Yeah, but you make a good point. We don't know that the 70 were more than the 12 disciples, or how many of the 70 were quote-unquote apostles.
I'm pretty sure I picked up somewhere where it made mention of other apostles, but I'm not. I can't bring it to mind. So
it's an issue of debate. Now, I don't. Keith, do you have? Are you familiar with the trouble that issue? That hey, what are we talking about when we're talking about apostles?
Well, I don't know what it says. In Ephesians 4:11, when he ascended up on high, he gave some apostles and some prophets.
Sounds like it's, yeah.
And if we have the fivefold ministry, the apostles are one of them.
Probably the better argument is that the apostolic ministry is something that extended beyond the 12.
Here's an interesting sentence. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens. And he ascended far above all heavens.
It's quite a ways up there.
I know.
And what's it say in any other translation? If he is for... Yeah.
Well, let's see.
And how high was it?
Where's the third heaven?
It's a lot of heavens.
Yeah. Heavens to goodness.
Right. Far above all the heavens is pretty common. All the heavens.
That's all I'm seeing.
I always thought there was just one heaven.
Yeah. far above all heavens. This is the, and this caught my attention when I saw that.
Yeah.
Where is that exactly?
I don't know how many there are, but I want to go to the one where Jesus is hanging out.
Yeah, right.
No, it's a strange thing. But heaven or wherever God has ordained for his people to go is a prize. It's a goal. It's an achievement. It's a pearl. You know, of great value. And for the billions of people that will be on this earth. And if there were several billion in heaven, that's quite an achievement.
Okay, there are three heavens. The first heaven is the firmament, which God created on the second day, Genesis 1, 6 through 8. The second heaven is the sun, moon, and stars, Genesis 1, 14 through 16. However, we normally think of heaven as the place where God and the angels live, but do not realize how many heavens there are. And the place where God and the angels live is the third heaven. So, yeah, you've actually been hanging around in the first heaven already. You didn't know it. When you say, I want to get to heaven, you go, hey, I'm already there. I'm on the first heaven.
And heaven is his throne.
Heaven, yeah, well, yeah, and I'm being flippant.
Yep.
But, you know, the third heaven, this is the dwelling place of God. 2 Corinthians 12, 2. So that's kind of being in the heaven of heavens, which is Nehemiah 9:6. But so I think when we talk about our eternal life, we're talking about the third heaven, but the Bible refers to earth as the firmament is one, and the stars and the moon and the sun is two. Which kind of makes those guys that came to our church and talked about they were and a second heaven experience with people in Texas while they were in our church. Remember, they were out there.
I don't remember that.
Oh,
one.
Yeah, there was we had a group of people that came in and talked about they were able, they were from Texas connecting with people, kind of in the second heaven level. I went, kind of went, not buying this.
So isn't it in the Bible where it says far above the heavens?
You know, I think things just get vague on stuff like that.
I mean,
different meanings and different contexts.
I mean, if it was retaining to, like, the glory of God, we would say, yeah, far above the heavens. That
yeah.
We don't. Or what?
Yeah.
I don't know. See, that's the thing. It doesn't always put that little conjecture in there.
Right. Now, it says New Living, and I think it's common, that who ascended higher than all the heavens so that his rule might fill the entire universe.
Mm.
So.
I thought heavens were the universe.
Which, which,
how long does it take you to do that? I don't think very long.
Yeah.
I think you're thinking maybe of Ephesians 4:10. He who descends is the very one who ascends above all the heavens in order to fill all things.
Could be.
That's,
yeah.
And one of the other scriptures I was reading, they...
what is that? Ephesians 4:10.
Ephesians 4:10.
I think that was what we were just reading.
Yeah.
Yes, I think it was.
What we were just reading about what? Oh, that where Keith was at?
Yeah.
When he brought, oh. Well, I'm wondering if it says, happens to say, what is it?
4:10.
It says that he ascended up far above the heavens.
Yeah, see, mine says far above.
Yeah.
All the heavens.
That he might fill all things.
Which they call the universe and other things, but yeah.
Let's see.
That was interesting when Steve Fay said that the only truth in the entire universe is the Word of God.
Well, yeah, a lot of them say higher than all the heavens, and then there are some that say far above.
What is it supposed to mean when something's in parentheses?
It might not be, it might be just implied. It might not really be in there.
Because both 9 and 10 in mine are in parentheses.
Yeah, and that's the way they're showing in the New American Standard, too.
I think it's, they were figuring Paul was saying this is kind of an aside to explain the prior,
yeah,
the prior verse. He was
the quote that's there that
right.
He ascended on high, led captivity captive, and gave gifts to men.
Comes from Psalm 68:18, and.
Well, because, you know, that's funny. Way at the bottom, then, at the end of verse 10, it says Psalm 68:18. It doesn't say it after the first time it's said. In my Bible, anyway.
Mine does. I've got it at Psalms 4:8. So, that little verse, you know.
The one there in 8?
Uh-huh. That quotes Psalm 68:18.
Yeah, it's funny they didn't put it right there. They put it way down after 10, verse 10 in mine.
Does it reference verse 10, or is it?
No, it's at the end. You know, it's like, it's saying this was a quote from, so they kind of just said the whole thing is implied, probably. Acts 1:9 it says also. Who knows? The different ones had ways of how they wanted to highlight things.
Those things are merely helpful. They aren't.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's not.
Well, yeah, when it's in parentheses or whatever that is. It's just a thought added. but it doesn't mean that it's wrong or implied or something.
Yeah, right. Well, when we get there, we'll see. That just what heaven are we in right now, anyway?
I think that's going to be the farthest thing from your mind when you first get there.
Probably. Probably.
Oh, my God. Stand there in awe, or am I going to dance for joy? Yeah, exactly.
Jeez, I can't stop and think about that.
Yeah. It's like, I don't think you're going to. You know, I've had all these questions I've been dying to ask you. I think you're going,
I'm probably more concerned about the fact of getting there right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, which is what we should be, but. It says in verse 13, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith, and as the end of the knowledge of the Son of God."
Yeah, that's interesting.
It is interesting because then unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, Christ be the anointed man. That is a major issue.
Yeah.
And yet, people
It is interesting that it is knowledge of the Son of God.
Yeah,
it is.
They're talking about God. It's the Son of God there that we need to know.
That he's a man?
Didn't Paul say someplace? Oh, yeah, he did, oh, that I might know him. You know? That I might know him. And there's, I think there's a number of places that talk about that, the knowledge of the Son.
And the him there is Jesus, isn't it?
Yeah.
To know him. Know him in his death. Know him in his resurrection.
And then there's another place where it says that you will know the mysteries of God.
Yeah.
Well, that's where in John 17:3, it says this is life eternal. This is eternal life. That they would know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent.
Yeah.
I think that says that dollar, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty
much.
Well, mm-hmm. And I think that probably is key. You can't know one and not the other.
Yeah. Well, you can't find God without Christ.
Right.
And I think he said that.
Right.
But there's still only one God.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's funny. I just don't, it's how, it says one all the time. How do you get three? How can you just shoehorn in three? You know? It says one in all kinds of places. God says it about himself. Which,
well, and it's very, very, very important.
Yeah.
That there is one God. So what? We make three of them?
Ooh. So my question is, who do you think you are, man? You're trying to change God? You know, I don't think they stop and think about stuff like that. You know. That's, you're, yeah.
Well, a Trinitarian will tell you, no, there is just one God. Just one God. In three persons. But, you know. But
except that God never said that.
No, that's right.
And it makes no sense.
There is no other God beside me.
Oh, big deal.
How are you going to stick a person, another couple people in there? You know? Yeah.
And 1 John 4:1, it says, beloved, don't believe every spirit. Try the spirit. Whether they're from God or not. For many false prophets have gone out in the world. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess the human flesh is not from God. And that's the spirit of the Antichrist.
I just heard
that's what my daughter says in the
Hebrew. Yeah. I just heard today is you follow the doctrines that are commandments of men.
Hmm. Sure.
You know.
And that's scary.
Yeah.
My theory, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. I think they were just trying to make themselves accommodated to the polytheistic Roman religion by having, you know.
Yeah, there's compromise, you know.
Right.
That's what's going on all the time today, too.
Yeah, right.
I've done it.
Yeah.
You know.
Uh-huh. And then what it did was open the door for Islam. One of their big, 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 big themes is that there's only one God. His name is Allah.
And Abraham was their father.
or Muhammad is his prophet. Yeah, right.
Abraham, but Abraham is their father.
Yeah, right. That's right.
To,
what's his other wife?
What's his name?
Ishmael?
Yeah, Ishmael.
Yeah.
And what it says in the Bible is that Ishmael and what was that one? The
son Isaac.
And Isaac buried Abraham.
Huh. Well, they both buried him?
They worked together to bury him.
Sure, it's not a different, another Ishmael.
Wouldn't necessarily have to be. I think.
So they became, they were friends.
Yeah. Things went sour later on.
I don't know. I can't remember what we had. But,
of course, the Muslims claim Ishmael. I don't know that we necessarily had to buy that, do we? Just because they,
Well, supposedly he was the father of the Muslims. I don't know.
There's nothing in the Bible that would say, and my descendants, they're going to have this prophet, Muhammad, I don't know that they claim it. They do claim it. But just because they claim it doesn't necessarily mean they're right about it. I don't know.
You know, I don't think that they don't have very many. Do they have any examples they use where they feel that God spoke to any of them?
Well, the Quran was all God's words. You know, Muhammad was writing that stuff down.
Through Muhammad.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
Well, we have our Moses.
Yeah, I know. I'm just. Well, yeah, because Muhammad was the one who said he had the vision and everything else.
Yeah.
But now, who do you think that vision came from?
Yeah.
No, Angel of Light was really working overtime there.
Yep.
Giving them all the things to put in the book. And it makes sense because almost all their stuff is purely natural doings. Praying this many times every day and doing this and that. It's all natural. It's all works.
Yeah.
There's no spirit, just works.
Yeah, they don't let God do things. They got to do it for God,
Oh, yeah, right there. Is that a big one? That's a good point. They're doing it all.
Right.
That tells you right there. Right.
They're the ones that send in the suicide bombers to.
Yeah. Right. And of course, it'd be the enemy that had set up a religion where it says kill all the infidels. It's because he's trying to kill all the Christians. Or any other, whatever, just to create havoc in the world,
The marvel is that it should be so appealing to so many people, But, I guess, the enemy could be persuasive.
I think sometimes, people are looking for structure. And then if they, it's like we've always said, if we do this, then we're okay, we're good. And that's what the church does partly too. you just come to church and you do this and this. Okay.
You're in.
Yes.
I'm in. I'm good.
Yep. Checklist religion.
You met them requirement.
Well, yeah, because people just don't want to go through life being fearful that they're not okay. And that they haven't made life eternal.
Heart condition.
Yeah, it's like, I just want to know that I've done the things I'm supposed to do. I'm trying to live a good life, and I'm doing the things I'm supposed to do. Yeah. That's why Romans 7 is so spooky. Spooky, scary. Like, I think I'm doing, you think you're doing the right things. And Jesus comes back and goes, yeah, your heart wasn't right there, was it? Oh. I mean, I wanted to do that, too. I did that and I needed to want to do it. Oh, that's tough. Well, I was looking up the first commandment because I thought, God could have just made this so easy. But the first commandment, in almost every translation, goes, I am the Lord your God. You cannot have any other gods above me. So what does that do? He throws Lord and God in the same sentence, which is a problem for us because we don't know Jesus Lord, God Lord, okay. And then he says, and they're more than me, so just make sure I'm the highest God. And so I go, and we're off and running. Trinity 3, that's no problem. I mean, he could have said, I am Allah. There are no other gods. End of story, but no. It says, I am the Lord your God.
Yeah, Lord, most people accept is just a title of authority. Filling in as God.
I totally agree with that, Ken. But most people who really put time into the scriptures get that. The casual, not so much. I go to church on Sunday.
Where does
Exodus 23 and 4. Because I was trying to remember it. And I want to make sure I was remembering it right versus what
Exodus
I...
Exodus 20.
Exodus 20 verses 3 and 4.
Oh, 20.
Yes. So I was just reading that and I went, it could have been cleaner. Could have been done in a way that it wouldn't be quite as open to, to have no other gods before me. Well, by that, there are gods, multiples, but he's the top god.
And it doesn't say, it says, no other gods before me.
Right, which I interpret to mean...
Not above me or beside me, before me.
There were rival religions at the time.
Yeah.
They would have had their own god, Moloch.
Sun god and the moon god.
Or it says, "You shall not make for yourself the carved image."
Yes.
Any likeness of anything that is in heavens above,
right?
Or that is in the earth beneath, either, or and that is course, in the water in the deep.
Yeah.
And of course, Diana came down from Jupiter.
Yes.
Right. And you're right. There's the two sentences together goes well. There's me. And then don't make a statue or whatever to the sun or the moon or anything that I've created, basically. Yeah. So, which takes away a lot of, but Moloch is a good example of.
But all through the Old Testament, he repeats that continuously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who he is.
Yeah. One of the things is very puzzling. Jacob, he was with. Living with his father-in-law, with Lamech, for a long time, and then he snuck out, getting away because he didn't see Lamech as being happy with his leaving and taking, all his daughters, and basically Jacob was good free labor. But then he also took his household gods. With him. And they were little statues or little Remember that?
And I don't remember.
Yeah, there was, he took his, and that was, Laban got his nose all bent out of shape, you know, because he was taking his household gods. Well, I am, what's going on there? Good Lord. What was Jacob going to do with these households?
Questions like, and why did you want this?
Right. Now, Jacob did not have an experience with the Lord, you know, with the angels going in, until later.
Right.
So it may very well have been he had a missed or incomplete understanding of what was expected, and it was became greater later on, and he had a, but, what are these?
Maybe it's in there to show us, look how messed up this dude was until I came and sent.
The thing is, Laban kept adding to the deal.
Oh, yeah, he kept changing the deal.
Yeah, right.
The contract.
Yeah, you don't cry too many tears for Laban.
No. Yeah. He was older than that.
And the funny thing is, you know, 7 years and 7 years and 7 years, you go, it's a long time. And you go, well, not back then.
No.
7 years really wasn't that big a deal. So, I mean, we go, wait a minute. No.
But he wanted Rachel bad enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had problems with this for a long time.
Yeah, a lot of things way back when were a lot different. It's hard to relate to them. And one of them is the fact that Abraham would marry to his half-sister.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And her and him both had the same father.
Well, they talked about there being a lot of fish in the sea. There probably just weren't that many fish in the sea back in those days.
Yeah.
And where did Cain find a wife? What did they say? In the land of Nod? Or something?
Outside of the tribe.
Where did she come from?
Yeah, how were all the extra people there all of a sudden?
Did she come in with Melchizedek or something?
I have a feeling some of it is, as God said, it's only important that you know this lineage.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, kind of.
I think there were a lot of people around, and then, you know, when he decided, okay, you can have the land of milk and honey, but you got to go get rid of all these squatters. And there were lots of them.
And you got Noah. I mean, how did they proliferate?
And Sarah was so pretty at the age of 90 that Abraham was afraid for his life. And he told the king or wherever they were at, he said, that's my sister.
Right.
And the king found out that it was really his wife. And then he got mad.
But it was his half sister.
Yeah.
So he wasn't.
It happened twice for crying out.
Yeah, it did. He wasn't lying.
No, he wasn't. You know,
you wouldn't think that somebody like that, you know, that he was justified by faith, and he'd understand. You wouldn't think he'd do something like that.
Well, no different than Elijah running from the
or David.
After
God's own heart,
right?
Goes and takes Bathsheba and has her husband killed. You know, there's just something that don't add up and all that, but
you know,
it's in the Bible, I believe.
If I were going to try to come up with a religion, I would have the founding people acting a whole lot better than what these folks acted like, you know? It just goes to show that God is bigger and better than our own conceptions of the way things ought to go.
He wants us to know that to err is human.
I was going to say, you want to kind of diminish the whole second act of this guy coming down and being perfect and showing all of us, like, it's possible, you just saw her failing at it badly. you're saying, no, this is too hard. And you go, it's not. It's just you don't want to do the work.
You know, you don't have to tell everything for crying out loud.
Yeah. Well, and by golly, he doesn't, does he?
Oh, he does. I know.
No, I mean, there's a whole lot that we don't know.
Yeah.
We like to say, yeah, I can't wait to understand this better. But,
yeah.
Well, and that is a point of, as far as I'm concerned, it's one of the things that makes it real and right. You know? The fact that it's done a whole lot different than I would do it.
But if you knew and understand all this, would it have any value?
That's right. Yep. Would it have value? I think not much.
That's true.
See, you know, that's because we are the created. There's no way we can come up with a God that would be more fair than the one that's there because of half of what we're saying. Why would he not look at that and call in and kill that guy for sinning, you know? So that's where God's so unique.
Yeah, I'm so glad that my God is so much better than I am.
Yeah. I mean, he's just, you know, his mercy. Like, oh, my God.
Well, if he killed all the sinners, I don't think there'd be many people left here.
Right.
Amen.
If he wiped them out right away the first time they sinned, you know.
Now, he was a little tough on Uzzah, though. So.
Well, you had to set that example.
Yes.
You know, he's pretty tough on a lot of people. All but eight, right?
What was that?
He was tough on everybody but eight. So prior to the flood, he said, you know, this is not going the way I thought it was.
Yeah. Although I don't think that would be his actual thought.
And
he said it repented, but I don't know. Yeah.
Fair enough. He wasn't surprised.
No.
But his plan, but then he did kind of come back and say, I was angered and I won't do that again. Which, in maybe the most liberal way of thinking, that was sort of an acknowledgement that maybe he could have handled that differently or better. But he basically made a promise to us that he wouldn't do that again until Judgment Day, which I think was maybe a way to let us go like, well, when's the next flood coming? You know, so.
Well, and probably we're not at that point yet that they were. He said, they're all bad.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily everybody's all bad yet. You know what I mean? In the world? I mean, totally. Just
we'd like to think some of us are not, we're not all bad.
Yeah.
I'm striving to be part of not the all, not all bad.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying I'm winning, but I'm striving. Yeah. Is that a good place to end?
Yeah.
You know, it's pumpkin time pretty soon for some people. Love you all.